Our next speaker is Rob Curtis. Rob is a director at KPMG and works essentially responsible for the global regulatory practice at KPMG. His CV says in Europe, Middle East and Africa, but I know he's working actively in Asia at the moment as well, so I think it's almost global. For those of you who don't know, Rob actually is originally Australian but hasn't lived in Australia for about 12 years, I think. Certainly I've bumped into him a few times in various international forums around the world over the years, whether it be IAS or International Actuarial Association meetings. So I can attest that he's fairly active in the area. He has got significant experience in regulation and working for a while. The FSA developed the UK's ICAS regime and has also worked for a couple of major insurers in his career. So please come and join us at the lectern, Rob.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning, everyone, and good to be back, I must admit, back home. Tony didn't mention that actually I was largely also responsible for most of the UK's input into Solvency II, and that's probably a good thing, actually, considering where we've ended up in Europe on Solvency II. But I'll talk a little bit more about some of that. But actually, this morning in this quick five-minute session, what I wanted to do was just convey actually where the UK firms particularly and other European firms have got to in terms of their ERM frameworks and their development, and actually what are some of the lessons that perhaps you could learn here in Australia, what perhaps not to do necessarily within implementing some of these ERM frameworks that you might need to out here. So the current state of play, just some contextual background material to begin with. I mean, I don't think these are unique to UK or European firms, and I think they're probably very, very similar to what you're also facing here in Australia. You know, so you've got your typical external pressures, very much regulatory driven, in particular in Europe with Solvency II. Then there was the economic crisis. The economic downturn obviously had a myriad of consequential effects that we've all read about. Competition is still obviously there as a key issue, and the agenda in Europe particularly is quickly now moving to conduct of business and actually treating customers fairly. And that's been around for a while in the UK, but it's also now starting to be very much front and centre across Europe. So the typical internal pressures very much are still there, and I think they're relevant here for Australian firms as well, very much, you know, the need to get that return, very much looking at your investment base and how can you actually get that working better. There's other regulatory changes, of course, which people in UK and Europe are very concerned with, and other issues around the risk management system itself. So what we did is we actually, earlier this year, we went to our clients and also other firms and said actually, in terms of the measurement of value around risk, what is it that actually you do to measure that? Because everyone has gone off. I think Ian Lachlan mentioned yesterday we had a survey as well in terms of cost estimates. We think it's around about £2 billion in the UK and more broadly Europe that firms have spent on their ERM development, which you could say is an enormous sum of money, which it is, of course. But you could also say that actually regulators for the first time have moved into a space which they had never been before in terms of asking firms for their ERM frameworks to be sent to them and actually justify what it is that they're actually doing in terms of managing and valuing risk. So you could say, well, if the industry had already that in situ, then it wouldn't and shouldn't have cost them anywhere near £2 billion. So it was probably a measure that actually the industry probably in terms of its ERM frameworks were probably underdeveloped in terms of where they really needed to get to. So we did a bit of a survey and said, what's your perceived value of risk? And 47% said, yes, it's essential. But quite sort of worrying in one sense, 34% saying, well, we occasionally use it and that information. 15% saying, well, it's only marginal. And 4%, thankfully, saying it doesn't really contribute. But you've still got sort of 53% sort of saying, well, actually, we're not quite sure of the value of risk and what it does. And this sort of reflects a more broader view out there that actually a lot of what has happened as a result of Solvency II has been compliance-driven, compliance-led. Therefore, it's something we have to do to get the regulators off our back, but actually do we really need it for running the business and getting additional value? And so that is still very much, even 3-4 years after Solvency II, all that work has been sort of really in major development, still sort of there as a predominant view. Measuring value, if you go to that sort of measure, it's even slightly more mixed in terms of 20% saying, yes, we use some sort of quantifiable sort of measure, but you've got 28% saying they actually have no mechanism in which to measure return on investment, which is quite interesting, and 30% saying, well, we look at past results and we try and have a view. So you look at that and you think, well, it's quite sort of skewed, it's quite mixed. And so we started to develop and started to say, well, actually, what are the conclusions here in our quick 5 minutes? I'll make it quite simple. Value is often not quantified, and it's hard to measure the value. And so, therefore, how do you actually construct something if you are asked by your board risk committee, how are you actually knowing that you're adding value out of your ERM framework? What would your response be? How would you actually demonstrate that you're adding value? It's quite an interesting sort of question. So I developed the risk value equation for us over there, and this has been quite a useful tool to actually have a discussion with our clients with, for example. So we're saying, well, look, you've got the key business drivers on the left-hand side, and you're always going to have those. Investor demands, for example, you want to increase growth, increase profitability. Return on capital is always there. Always want to reduce costs, and, of course, there's got to be that regulatory relationship. And then we're saying, well, what are your key levers of your risk management framework? Now, to boil it down, we came up with five different key areas. The risk target operating model in the framework that you've got, the governance and the people to support that, your risk-related processes that are associated with those risk systems and technology as well, and reporting mechanisms. And you say, well, they're your actual levers that you've got for your risk management framework, effectively. Now, out of that, the risk value equation is basically saying increased return equals the cost savings from risk mitigation. So this is something you should be able to demonstrate from your ERM framework, plus the revenue enhancements from risk insights. So this is, again, another measurable output that you should be able to demonstrate. Plus the reduced cost of risk capital. So this is something that actually you should be able to, again, put a measure on. And you've got to less the cost of risk or the operations, because you'll always have that in a sense. So what it does is it provides a framework in which, if you want to go back to your board risk committee or your board and say, actually, we are now starting to put a measure, tangible measure, on how we actually know the effectiveness of our risk management framework. And so you get that from the increased return, as I mentioned, the cost savings from risk mitigation. So this is really around effective risk mitigation should result in reduced expected loss, for example. That's what it's sort of trying to... they're the measures that you would actually use for that, for example. The revenue enhancements from risk insights are really... are you using the data analytics as much as you possibly could? And what insights are you actually getting out of that? One of the lessons we learned in the UK and Europe is, particularly at group level, the Pillar 2 function, the ERM function, became largely a data collection exercise rather than any formative analytical work of the material being sent in from the first line. So often the second line is just so consumed with actually putting the next report together for the Board Risk Committee or the Board Audit Committee that actually they're not really adding any value to that process from the data. They're just getting enormous amounts of data put in and are then trying to just make sense of what that means for the next report, rather than actually stepping back and saying, actually, what are we really getting insights out of this? reduced cost of capital, clearly this is around whether you can get additional earnings, for example, from capital no longer required to support some of the other risks and what you could do there. And the cost of capital is looking at those fixed and variable operational costs and whether you can actually reduce some of that in the system. So that should all lead, if you start to put that in a bit of a measured type way, into actually those KPIs. So these are just some examples. You're going to have the slides anyway provided to you. But, you know, these are some measurable ways that you could actually start to say, well, this is how we're actually starting to know that we are actually getting better value out of our ERM system. Because you need a process, you need a system in which to actually have a measurement basis as a core, and how can you actually feed that through. So I'm just conscious of time, but I will just finish on this, saying actually not all aspects are equal. So what you often find is firms will go down the route of trying to just reduce their cost base, right? Because risk is seen still in some quarters as a little bit of a cost centre, rather than actually something which is really adding value and insight to the business. So you've got a variety of different metrics there, and not all of them are going to be necessarily equal. But that is just something to consider for our later open question session. Thank you very much.